Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Get my notes together. So for who of you was it a breakfast in bed type of morning for you fathers out there? I was up too early for that. I had cramming to do. That's my style, apparently. So, it is what it is. It's good to see you guys this morning. For you, those of you at home, happy Father's Day to all you fathers. My message this morning isn't a Father's Day message, but it does relate to us fathers as we lead our homes. If you guys would like to turn your Bibles to Matthew in chapter 7, we'll be focusing the passage there, but we'll be flipping around a little bit, trying to get some perspective on how we should be building our lives. So when we think about foundations, we realize that they are part of any building that we do, they are at the beginning. When you build a building, you prepare the ground, you're preparing for that foundation. The foundation is under the whole structure that you build. Everything that's built is built upon your foundation. And in that way, the building, the foundation kind of encompasses everything involving that building. So we know that it's important to have a good foundation. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus points that out to us. It says there in verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Luke chapter 6, verse 48, let's turn there quickly. Same parable. Luke has a few details there that are slightly different. We'll just pick up on that here. Verse 48, it says, "He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock." Digging deep. I know when you build a structure, you want to build on a surface that is hard. You know, you could be lazy and just build on soft ground that's disturbed, but if you dig down and you dig down to something that's solid, this will ensure that the building can't be washed away, right? So how do we dig down to the rock? I think we in the context that we're looking at here in Scripture is that we need to recognize what that foundation is. First John chapter 1. We know who Jesus was. There it says in John chapter 1, verse 2. I'll get there anytime here soon. "He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." Now, isn't that a good foundation to build on? Jesus' words have some weight to them, don't they? We have to appreciate who Jesus is and who God is. If you've ever built something, you know that it's important to have a plan. Most of us have tried to put something together without using the instructions, only to find ourselves redoing the project to put in the pieces that we missed. It's important to follow instructions. God has given us the plans to build our lives. His word teaches us how to build. Let's focus on this foundation, the rock. He is the foundation. He is the rock that we should build on. We don't need to build the foundation. God is the foundation. Isn't that interesting? You know, when we build a building now, we with our own hands, we need to build the foundation, but We need to recognize that God is the foundation. We can build upon him. We need only to recognize him and build on him. The word rock has been used to describe God in a number of passages. Jesus doesn't directly point back to those other passages when he uses this illustration, but I think we can definitely see the connection throughout Scripture. God is viewed as the rock by Moses, also by David. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy in chapter 32. There it says in verse 4, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. He goes on to say in there, verse 7, says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations, ask your father and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you, when the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the children of Israel, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. This passage shows how God is faithful. You know, if we read that whole chapter, we recognize that the Israelites stumbled, they went astray. God was faithful to them. The Lord was their protection and refuge. He was their salvation. Moses is reminding the people of God's faithfulness. In verses 46 and 47, let's turn there, it says, and he said to them, set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe all the words of this law. Reminding the people of who God is. What God was to them. These words were words of life, pointing them back to remind them, but also admonishing them and encouraging them to live by these words, to observe the things of the law that God has set out for them. Words of life so that they could live long and prosperous in the land that they were being given. Let's go over to 2 Samuel in chapter 22. David refers to God as his rock. Chapter 22, verse 1. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, the shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Over to verse 21. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. And over 32 to 34. For who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he sets me on high places. And over to verse 47. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. So how do we view God as a rock? Why do we view God as a rock? We view God as a rock because he is just. He is true. He is eternal. He is faithful. He's the creator. He's merciful. He's the savior. And he's over all. From these passages, we can see that. So back over to Matthew chapter 7. In those passages, we see the application that Jesus, as well here in verses in chapter 7 of Matthew. I can't do two things at once. Here we go. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, it says, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine," we see how Moses challenged the people to follow the commands that they were given. We also see just a couple of chapters forward in Joshua, in chapter 1, the Lord speaks to Joshua, and he's telling him to meditate on and to do the law and that he would make his way prosperous. David also comments on how he was walking in the way of the Lord, and the Lord was blessing him for that. So we see a similar thing in Matthew chapter 7. And we see that God wants us to listen to what he's told us, and that so that we can build upon that foundation that he's given us. When Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount, he begins by speaking directly to the hearts of the disciples, addressing the issues of the day. The Beatitudes, he starts off in chapter 5. He's teaching them how to respond to the challenges of life. You know, the things that he was teaching there are relevant to us today. The things he taught would have been challenging for those people to hear living under Roman rule, always questioning the authority that was happening, the things that were happening around them. The things that we know Jesus wants us to do go against what we've been taught by the world around us. So, as Jesus spoke these words in the end of in chapter 7, they recognized that he had authority. And you know how that was God directly speaking them to them, teaching them how to respond to the things that they were facing. Isn't it always amazing how God initiates and how God does that because he loves us? He's taught us how to live, stepped into that moment in time and wanted the Israelite people to know how to respond in that situation. Just as he encouraged the Israelites in the wilderness to follow him, as he gave Moses that responsibility to lead the people. Similarly, he gave David the responsibility to lead as a king. Now he's teaching his disciples how to be a light in the world. So how do we build? How do we build on this foundation that we've been given? Well, when I think of the foolish builder, it kind of makes me think of this term, schmade. Have you guys ever heard that term, the low German term, schmade? To schmade something? To schmade is usually, it's just kind of to make something work. And I think there's plenty of different ways that you can schmade something. I don't schmade anything, though. I definitely am not a schmader. No, maybe I do it once in a while. Sometimes we are forced to use what we have available to us. But sometimes when we schmade something, we do it for different reasons. So thinking about this builder who built on the sand, maybe he was a schmader. Let's not take that too far, the schmading idea here. But anyways, I thought of it, and I thought, oh, maybe we could relate that to this a little bit here. So sometimes when you schmade something, you do it because it's too expensive to do it right. To do something right, sometimes it costs, right? It costs to get the right things to do the job properly. Sometimes when we schmade something because we're too lazy to do it properly. It takes work to do things properly, right? Sometimes we schmade something because we don't know how to do it properly. We haven't been taught. Or we're stubborn. Why do it the right way when we can do it our own way? You know, when somebody shows you how to do it and you're like, nah, I think I know how to do this my own way. It's probably just as good. Or we don't like to follow instructions. And we do it, we end up with a product that looks like it was schmated together. Well, thankfully, God has given us the instructions that we need to build on this foundation. We don't need to do it that way. So, to build your house on the foundation, each of us have been given a house to build. You know, it's a figurative thing, but we can see how throughout Scripture God has given everyone a responsibility to build and to follow what they had been taught to do. Jesus was teaching these disciples how to live in difficult times. He taught them to have an eternal perspective. In Matthew chapter 6, he says to lay up your treasures in heaven. He taught them to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verses 8 says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Isn't that the right way to start building your life? Depending on the Lord, looking to the Lord for your strength. He taught them to love their enemies. He told them that they were the light of the world. So we're all building. We're building a relationship with God. Actually, all of the building that we're doing is about relationships. We are building a relationship with God. Everything we do in life relates to our relationship with God. We can't ignore that. He is the foundation. Just like I talked about in the beginning, the foundation encompasses everything. Are we building on that? Do you relate to your Heavenly Father as Jesus taught in that prayer that we just read? We are building relationships in our family. The way we live as fathers and mothers, as sons and daughters. The way we live is first seen by our families. As fathers, we should want our families to mature, to lead them in God's ways, to worship God, to lead them to the cross. We are also building the church. We all have a part in the body of Christ. Also, we are all part of this world. We are all building a part in the world, in society. Jesus wanted us to be the light of the world. All of the things that Jesus was teaching revolved around relationships. And so we can say that this building that we're building is all about relationship. Relationship to God and relationship to people. And he talks about the storm that came in and there it says, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. I remember when we built our house, I remember putting the footing in and then getting a big rainstorm and had to pump out all the water out of there, and it's all mud in the bottom. And I remember when we had built the structure and had the rafters up and some windy nights and lying awake considering the bracing and wondering if it was good. Jesus says here is, if we've built a strong foundation, built on the strong foundation, we will be secure through it. I look back on my life and know that I haven't always built on the rock. I haven't always dug down to the rock. I've schmated many times along the way. Parts of my building have been washed away, things that I wasted my time on. Thankfully, the foundation doesn't depend on me. God is always faithful, as we're reminded in the passages that we've read. David talks about God as a rock of refuge in 2 Samuel in chapter 22. Let's turn there again. Look at a couple passages that David wrote here. Here again, 22, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation. Over to Psalm chapter 31. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. As we face the storms of life, we know that if we've built on the Lord, we are sheltered and secure. We see that in Romans in chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. We are more than conquerors. Nothing can separate us. Over to Psalm chapter 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a shelter to me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Isn't it just reassuring and great to know that this foundation that we have is solid? God is faithful. You know, the next, in Psalm 32, where we were just reading in Psalm 31, Psalm 32, David confesses, he says there in 32, he says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, though my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Isn't it good to know that we are forgiven, we can be forgiven, we can have a right relationship. So let's tear down anything that's not built on the rock. It's good to tear down things that aren't safe. Sometimes we need to inspect our building to see if the structure is sound. In fact, in construction, we are always aware of the safety concerns. We should be going through the building day by day, just looking, seeing if there's hazards, if there's anything that's unsafe. We address them and we make sure that everyone knows the hazards. Let's build our lives on the rock. Let's make sure we have a strong structure. Peter and Paul both use this picture of our lives being a spiritual house. Let's turn over to 1 Peter in chapter 2, verse 1. It says there, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow. Thereby, if indeed you have tasted the Lord's, that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. And also, let's look at Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. It says there, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So isn't that what we want to be built into? We want to be built into a holy temple unto the Lord, that our lives would bring glory, honor, and praise to God, that we would worship him with our lives. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. We thank you that we can look into your word. Thank you that we can appreciate that you love us, that you've revealed yourself to us, who you are and your character. Thank you that you are eternal. Thank you for creating us to have a relationship with you. Lord, help us to be a light in the world. Lord, pray that our lives would bring honor and glory to you, and that we would worship you through our lives and the things that we do. Lord, help us as fathers to be good examples. Lord, help us to build our lives on a firm foundation upon you, and to cast aside the things that are a distraction, the things that don't have eternal value. Lord, pray that we would lay our treasures up in heaven. Lord, thank you that it's all about relationships, Lord. It's not about what we can gain here, but that we can draw people to you, and that we can show them your love. Thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.